in regard to your state of being. Have you ever felt like that? About this? None of you? Now? Some of us live like that. Our makeup, our personality, our demeanor, it's an uphill battle. I often say sometimes I get so blue I could spit ink. The second law of thermodynamics does not help. That which everything is moving from order to disorder and to decay. Yes, there are renewing spots along the way. The tree that does decay does drop the acorn, and life is renewed. And men, frail, do create others, and another generation comes. But that generation goes. And it's easy to, in this world, to develop an outlook that life is hard and then you die. There are many opportunities that knock on our door to allow us to droop, both in the flowers and lack of water and the balloon and lack of helium. Your physical bodies communicate to you that decay. And yet in the created order, God has created day and he's created night. In the creation, there is built in a design for rest. And in the Lord's law, he says, 6 days shall man labor, and one day he shall rest. So there is provision for renewal along the way. Your emotions have opportunity to constantly get deflated. David said in Psalm 42 twice, and in Psalm 43 once, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me." And David, through his Psalms, shares the reality of what we all experience from time to time and time and time again. The wilting and the deflating of our spirit. The frustrations that we experience in life and the discouragement which often knocks on our door. And yet the provision of God is there when it speaks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here a physical picture, but speaking of spiritual renewal, that God in his providence has provided for men that constant renewing so that you can have a hope, so that you don't have to live wilted and deflated. A child, when it is born and as it develops, needs provisions by others. As it slowly develops, it's able to nourish and provide for itself, and when it becomes mature, not only provides for itself, but is in a position to help others. And so it is with the church and its members. in Acts 2:42, in the birth of the church, it says, "And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and sharing with them all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart." The book of Acts describes the initial stage of the church and what took place and the encouragement that was needed in both in the establishment of the church and the nurturing of the church. And so it is in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas to Antioch. It says, when the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And when they had come and witnessed the grace of God, they rejoiced and began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And then Barnabas, seeing and encouraging the church in Antioch, the Gentile church, went to look for Saul. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. And he came to this new church outside of the Jewish parenthesis, and he was excited about what he saw because of the grace of God. And he encouraged them and then took off to get Paul, for he knew that Paul could be of assistance. And so he brought Paul to Antioch. And it says, "And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Paul, or Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have for them to do.'" So they were building up the church there in Antioch, and the Lord wanted to establish more churches in other cities. So he chose these two and sent them out. Acts 15, it says, "So when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered to them the letter from Jerusalem in regard to some affairs. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement." Have you ever received an encouraging letter? "And Judas and Silas, also being apostles themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message." Some of us, the shorter the message, the more encouraged we are. But these two were able to encourage the brethren with a lengthy message. Continuing to observe the nurturing of the church, Acts 15:36, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" The birth of the church in the first century, many needs, many conditions which would affect them and their spirit. So the second missionary journey was for the purpose of encouraging and stimulating and seeing the condition that they were in. Each church has its own makeup and its own challenges. And Paul wanted to minister to whatever the needs were so that they would be strengthened and established. Continuing in Acts 16, it says, "Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in their faith and were increasing in number daily. Paul, when he gathered the elders from Ephesus in the city of Miletus, I had the privilege of being in both of those places. He said to the elders, "Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." He commended them to God, who is able to renew, and he commended them to the word of his grace, which is able to enrich. Paul was concerned on the welfare, the state of being of others, and he sought with everything within him to minister, to be an encouragement to them. Paul, not being able to be at all places at all times, then wrote letters seeking to be an encouragement and to build up those who were called. As with those of you who have had several children, you know that each of them are different, and you need to encourage them according to their makeup. Paul, to the church at Rome, having not been there, but desiring to be there, to be with that great church, says in Romans chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, "For the God whom I serve in my spirit in preaching of the gospel of his Son is my witness how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request that if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Mutual edification when you're with the family of God. Encouraging where there's need of encouragement, admonishment when admonishment is needed. But together, stimulating one another to love and good deeds, caring for one another, because herein lies the downward pull that knocks on all our doors. And so Paul sought to be an encouragement. He wanted to be with them in his presence, but he could only write a letter to encourage them. Aren't you glad he wrote that letter? I mean, the book of Romans. He lays out for them the fundamental basics of the Christian faith and allows us to understand mysteries which we would never be able to. And then he finishes to the church at Rome in chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, when he says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell upon me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." The encouragement of the scriptures. That is the basis on which we can speak to one another. If we use our own words, that's all they'll be, our own thoughts. But the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, the foundational truths that God has made known to men, these are what we are to use and to apply to the affairs of others in whatever state they may find themselves. We ourselves grow as we're nourished upon his word, and then we go and we share it with others. We water their flowers. We inflate their balloons. We use the Word of God to encourage them along the way. The church at Corinth, on the other hand, you'd need encouragement to minister there. There was opportunities everywhere. Chaos reigned. It's like, man, any place to get discouraged, that would be it. Right? So the application of encouragement needed to be a little firmer at the church at Corinth than it was at Rome. So Paul says to them, 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no division among you, but you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment." A person's spiritual condition will often determine how you go about encouraging them. Johnny has been given his milk and cookies. Johnny doesn't want his cookies, so he throws them on the floor. Now, how do you encourage Johnny to pick up his cookies? "Oh, Johnny, let's pick up the cookies. I don't wanna." "Johnny, we need to pick up the cookies." "I don't wanna." "Johnny, you are going to pick up those cookies now."
Okay.
You've all been through it, and you've all put your parents through it. Paul, in dealing with the church at Corinth, says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as to babes. I gave you milk to drink, and not solid food, because you are not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able." Sometimes the Board of Education has to be applied to the seat of learning in order to get their attention to learn. And so with the church at Corinth, Paul, whose heart beat for them, who longed for them to be conformed to the image of Christ, had to encourage them in a different way. "Well, you should pick up your cookies." No, he had to come down harder, but he loved them. Paul dealt with gifts and with tongues and with prophecies, and yet his goal was edification, exhortation, and consolation. He wanted to build up, he wanted to correct, but he also wanted to comfort. Paul was concerned for the church at Corinth. And so at the end of 1 Corinthians, he was encouraged, or he was encouraging Apollos to go and to be with them. He wasn't quite ready, but he wanted to do the same, but the timing of it. Paul's heart beat for the Corinthian church. He wanted to encourage them, but they needed correction first. Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, he was concerned that maybe he had been too overbearing and too strong. And so he says in chapter 2, "But I determined this for my sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one who I made sorrowful? And this is the very thing I wrote to you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you that my joy would be the joy of you all." Paul was concerned that he might be too overbearing. And there again, he wanted that mutual edification. He enjoyed them and wanted fellowship with them, but there were issues to be corrected. And so to balance it, he shares his love with them in chapter 6 when he says, "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own afflictions. Now in like exchange, I speak to you, speak to children. Open wide to us also." Open your heart to one another. And let's have mutual edification, and let's build one another up. Let's deal with issues that are in our lives, but let's know of our love for one another. Paul was encouraged when he sent Titus to visit them, and it says that his spirit was refreshed when he was among them. And knowing that Titus was refreshed, refreshed Paul. Okay, I didn't come down too hard in my corrective measures. They know of my love. They've received the one I sent to them, and the news of how they are doing refreshes my soul. Those of you who've had children who are been challenging and now are doing well, what does that do to your spirit? To know that you had to come down hard because you cared for them, but now they are walking aright. Good news from afar encourages the heart. Paul was encouraged by the gift that the church turned around and gave him. It speaks of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When he says, "Now he who supplies the seed for the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for the sower and increase in the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for your liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Because the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contributions to them all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his incredible gift." Paul had labored long and hard, and his spirit was renewed because his labor was producing fruit. They had responded, they had received whom he had sent, they had sent a gift, and Paul's balloon was inflated, encouraged in difficult days to see the fruit come about. His spirit was refreshed. Everything Paul did, he did to build up and to encourage and to establish the church. Paul and his relationship to the church at Galatia. Says this, "Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each of one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to others. For each one shall bear his own load. And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith." Paul was encouraged by the church in Galatia. Paul, in regard to the church in Ephesus, was encouraged by speaking, that they were able to speak kindly, when he says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only as such a word as good for the edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." A word in season, graced. Has anybody ever spoken a word like that to you when you were in this condition? What did it do for you? It encouraged you because it pointed you to grace. Paul, in regard to the church in Philippi, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." The church at Colossae, 3:16, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart." Will that not fill your balloon, water your flowers? A joyful heart, melody, rejoicing, encouraging, stimulating one another, rather than doom and gloom that we have in the world. The church in Thessalonica, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, actually 8. Having this fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be burdened to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and unjustly and blamelessly we behave to you, believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and employing each one of you as a father would his own children. That labor of love to bring corrective action, but to also to encourage along the way. Encouragement is desperately needed in everyone's life every day. And Paul gave himself in sacrificial ministry to the churches scattered. Whatever their need was, he sought to sacrifice himself to see them established, to see them stimulated, to see them encouraged, to see them with a hope to live in the world that was present then. Paul goes on from encouraging and stimulating the churches to focusing on individuals. And so when he comes in the book of Timothy, he urged Timothy to remain on at Ephesus. He didn't suggest, it'd be a good idea if you think that, you'd be interested in there's a position left open in Ephesus. And, you know, if you just kind of minister to them, that would be good, and I'll catch up with you later. Paul said, I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia. Remain on at Ephesus. Here's his job. In order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Now, how would you like that job? Do you think you'd be discouraged? It's like, wait a minute, you know, I'm so glad I'm a part. No, your job is to remain there and to instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrine, okay? This is warfare for the truth of God. I couldn't fill that position. Peace, man. I don't like conflict, you know. Inflate my balloon, but don't encourage me to go into war. Okay. And so Paul, knowing Timothy and the timidness which might be there, had to encourage Timothy a little firmer when he says to him, fight the good fight. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Take pains with these things. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Oh, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Encouraging the younger man to stand in the gap for the welfare of the condition of the church in Ephesus. And in his second letter to Timothy, he encourages him to kindle afresh the gift that was within him, to suffer hardship, to follow his teaching, to continue in these things. And then he solemnly charged him, and then he encouraged him to fulfill his ministry. You see, there's gentle encouragement when the spirit is down. There's a little more firm admonition when the spirit is stubborn. And then there's the stimulating, exhorting for a person to fulfill what they've been called to. All of them are encouraging, but in different methods and different means. But your ultimate goal is that they would be what God has called them to be. And when you're a child, you need that gentle encouragement. And when you're the two-year-old, you need the corrective measures. But as you're mature, you're able to feed yourself, care for others, and encourage others along the way. And so it is Paul writes to Titus to remain on at Crete and to speak the things that are fitting. Gives instruction in regard to the character of the older men. And in regard to the older women, he says, that they may encourage the younger women. Many of you have been down the road. Some of you may have encouragement along the way. Some of you may not have. But you have learned in the path that you have traveled. And now, as you look behind you, there are others who are traveling the road that you traveled. Encourage them. Along the road that may have been challenging for you, for they need encouragement. It is a rough world out there, and we need to encourage and strengthen one another. Hebrews says, "Take care, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Encouragement is absolutely essential, because an evil, unbelieving heart and the deceitfulness of sin surrounds us all. And unless we're encouraged along the path, we too may wander into the night. Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith," or our hope, "without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You take a log out of the fire and you place it by itself, and it soon will go out. You place that log back in the fire along with others, and the fire continues to burn. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And Hebrews says, "Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." Encouragement is a healing balm. It renews the spirit, and it enables the soul to continue on. We have seen the pattern of the early church, the establishment and the encouragement of the church. We've seen the work of the Apostle Paul in his laboring for the church and encouraging and admonishing them. We've seen the exhortation of Hebrews. We look in the Old Testament and we see those who endured. How did they do it? Joseph. Is that a discouraging life? Okay. Every turn, doing what is right, ending up in difficulty. Who encouraged Joseph? Every time you see him down, down, down in a difficult situation, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord himself can encourage and establish you. The Lord has given his word by which we may be established and strengthened and encouraged. And then he's given us the body that we might encourage one another. David, in his Psalms, I mean, he just says it the way it is. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you in despair within me? Hope thou in God." His flowers were wilted. His balloons were deflated. His life was at risk. And his soul cried to God that he would establish him and bring him forth. Psalm 119, speaking of the scriptures, it says, "My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to thy word. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to thy word. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. My soul languishes for thy salvation. I wait for thy word. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The scriptures are absolutely essential in the rebuilding of our spirit. Yes, we have the example of the Old Testament saints. We have the example of the early church. We have the life and writings of the Apostle Paul in encouraging the newborn church. We have the exhortation of scriptures. We have the family of God that he has placed us in. And we are designed to play a role in regard and in relationship to one another. We must be involved in encouraging others. Absolutely essential, because we all are exposed to the conditions of this world. And we are weak and we are frail and we feel like that. Some of us more than others. It is essential that we care for one another, that we look out not only for our own interest, but for the interest of others. For darkness surrounds us all. The deceitfulness of sin lurks, and it is easy to be drawn away, to be discouraged, and to drift into the night. Encourage one another as long as it is called today. Yes, encouragement is needed by everybody. Encouragement is needed daily. Encouragement is available through God himself, through his word, and hopefully through his people. God has designed us to function in the body, to care for one another, and to encourage one another. Admonish one another when needed, but encourage one another along the way. For it is a rough road, and the spirit of man is frail, and the encouragement is absolutely essential. In the world, we have opportunity to feel that way. In the church, with the provision of the Lord and through his word and through his people, he seeks to nourish us and renew us and give us what is essential. Yes, you will feel this way, but you can be renewed and encouraged and stimulated along the way. Ah, what it is to be encouraged. To have a little helium in your balloon, a little step. Look at this. Okay. Boy, is that encouraging, huh? All right. I'm out of here. A youth group went on a hiking and mountain climbing trip. And there were 10 in the group. Some boys and some girls. Youth director let them out of the van and off they went. The boys raced off ahead of the girls. They hiked their miles and then they began to climb the mountain. There was a little discouragement along the way because, you know, they were all out for themselves to outdo one another and to see who could make it to the top first. Three people made it to the top. The others were strung along the way, some not far from the van, some at the foot of the mountain, and some halfway up the mountain. Time was up. Youth director put them all back in the van, took them back home. Next Sunday morning, in their Sunday school class, he said, "Class, last weekend, be encouraged." Okay, there you go. We went on this trip, and everybody was out for themselves, and some made it, and some didn't. Said the purpose was not to see who could make it and who couldn't, but it was that we all together might experience getting there, whatever it takes. So next week we're going back. And our goal is not who can get there the quickest, but our goal is that we all get there. And so they went, and together as a team, they encouraged each other and helped each other along the way. Oh, it took a little bit longer, but there they stood. All of them at the top, because they were not looking out for their own interests, but for the interests of others. Yes, we live in a world that does this to our spirits, but God has provided for his people himself, his word, and his people. And we are designed to encourage and stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Do you need your flowers watered? Do you need some helium in your balloon? God is available to renew you. His word will give you what is necessary to renew your spirit. And if sensitive, his people can encourage you along the way. Encourage one another. Let's pray.